Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Live Stream Live. I am your host, Joshua Schubart. Here's a word from our sponsor. We don't have a sponsor yet, hopefully soon. I hope you're all doing well. I am very excited to chat with Natalie Disler today. She is the co-chair of the Team Fox Young Professionals of New York City. A very cool arm of the Michael J. Fox Foundation that helps raise money for Parkinson's research. Before we talk to her, I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that we did have a pretty major election happen this week. It's actually part of the reason why the live is at the end of the week and not the beginning of the week. We had some things that we had to take care of and come to understand. It's either a time of great jubilance for you or a time of potential horrible fear and the unknown. I just want you to know that I'm in your corner. I'm there for you. Any member of any marginalized group or any marginalized community, I'm on your side. I was just as shocked as many of you are were with the outcome of the election. Incredibly shocked. But it's something that we will persevere through and fight through and come out the other side better people and a better country. And in an homage to that, my hosting cup this evening is the bottom half of Abraham Lincoln's face. So there's just water in here, I promise. I will try to see your comments and answer as many of the things as I can. We are live on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. That's three platforms. So I'm excited that we're all together on all these platforms. And yeah, any questions or comments? First, let us... Oh, epic mug. Thank you. It's so cool, right? Like, I mean, Abraham Lincoln's probably one of my favorite prezzies of all time. Not just because of the things that he did, but because he was imperfect and he chose to learn and grow as opposed to just sit in his own belief system during a time where that was really easy to do. And he also came from practically nothing, just like most of the other people that during that time period. He came from like a log cabin in the middle of a wooded area and then became one of the most prolific presidents that we've ever had, which is really cool. So what have I been watching? I just watched the season finale of Agatha All Along. Have you watched it? Because it is amazing. Just incredible storytelling, how it ended, I'm going to do mild spoilers, but I'm not going to do like extreme spoilers. I mean, it's been over a week. So if you haven't seen it, then I'm very sorry, but, it is just so good. It's so well-written. It's a well-written, well-done queer story in a way that we haven't really seen in a long time. It's, you know, just from start to finish, it's empowering specifically to women, but specifically to all people that don't fit a certain cultural norm. It's just an incredibly powerful show. Yeah, Joe Locke was an awesome character. And also they did a comic book accurate Wiccan costume, which I think is just so rad. They don't often do accuracy in that way, and it was really cool to see. Let me know what you think in the comments, and I will talk to you about it. Oh yeah, we're talking about Agatha All Along. That's right, it's fantastic. Another cool thing today is that I received a new piece of art from an amazing artist. His name is Isaiah Ferguson. He's a, I guess I can call him a young man, but because he's much younger than me. But he's immensely talented, and he hosted and executed a 30th anniversary homage party tribute to the Tick cartoon. It was incredible, and I wasn't able to go in person because it was in LA, and I was involved in a show at the time. But he had asked me to record a video, and I was happy to oblige. And he created a really great piece of art for me that I'll show you right now. Bam. So he made a great thing of my character, Frank. This is one of the coolest scenes, I think, in season two, where I tell Miss Lynth that she zapped one of our dudes so hard that they lost Tuesday as a concept. And he put the date of when my character first appeared in the show and the episode number, and he custom made the font to look like the show. It's really cool. This is going to go on a bunch of merch. I can't wait to pop it out to you all. I see that Isaiah's in the chat. Hey man, thanks for being here. This was really cool. I had a great audition this week at the Metropolitan Opera. A bunch of really crazy and fun sword fighting and really interesting physical work for a new production of Antony and Cleopatra, I haven't heard anything yet. Hopefully I'll be able to be in that one because it was a lot of fun. That's what I did this week, watched, and what's happening. Without further ado, I would like to bring up Natalie Dissler. Let me pop her up here and we can say hi and blammo. Hi.
Hi. I love the mug as well. I know you already got a comment, but it looks amazing.
It's a good mug. And it was like off of like one of those merch sites. So it wasn't that expensive. I don't remember which one it was, but you know.
We love a good deal, even better.
We do. So Natalie is the co-chair of the Team Fox Young Professionals of New York City. And what does your organization do?
Yeah, so even to backtrack a little bit for anybody that doesn't know. So the Michael J. Fox Foundation, right, is an incredible nonprofit organization that is tirelessly fighting for a cure for Parkinson's disease. We always say, and everyone at the foundation always says, we will be here until Parkinson's isn't, right? That's kind of our catchphrase. And so many years ago, the foundation created what's called Team Fox, which is the grassroots fundraising program or kind of arm of the Michael J. Fox Foundation. And Team Fox does so much incredible work, and it's made up of people like me who have loved ones that are battling Parkinson's or have battled Parkinson's in the past and who want to dedicate their time to creating groups that are centered around fundraising and support and contributing to bringing us closer to a world without Parkinson's. And so I run the New York City-based Team Fox group. And as you so beautifully said, our name is a little bit long and it's a little bit of a tongue twister at times, but we are the Team Fox YPs, or Young Professionals, YPs for short. That's kind of our nickname within the foundation, the Team Fox YPs of NYC.
And I imagine that this is a lot of hours of your time, yeah?
Yeah, it is. It is quite a lot. I'm not going to say how many, because I'll be a little bit. It's quite a lot. Yeah. You know, we have anyone in our group, right, is dedicated and is involved. There's no time requirement to be a part of our group. We have a lot of people who might, you know, want to just show up once a month or once a year, or show up to an event now and again, or we have events, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but that are kind of annual things that we do. And they might only kind of show up to that. And that might be the way that they want to participate. And we welcome that with open arms. But our board, we do have a board that runs our group. I'm, of course, me alongside my co-chair, Sophia Michaels, are the head of that board. And yes, anyone on our board is putting in a lot of hours, and particularly, you know, some of us are dedicating a large portion of our lives to this and happily doing so.
Matt, is there a loud noise coming from my end, or is it okay?
I don't hear anything. Do you hear anything on my end?
No, my dehumidifier turned on. I forgot to turn it off. I'm very embarrassed. And I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't affecting the audio here. And anyway,
No, all good.
my light fell down. What made you get involved with this organization?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my father was diagnosed with Parkinson's. We always dispute how long ago, but I'm gonna say it's got to be close to 14 years now. He was 52 at the time. I actually asked him this earlier today to prep for this. I'm like, exactly how old are you? He was 52, which is a little bit early onset. It's not exactly where you want to be. I mean, you never want to be diagnosed with Parkinson's, but if you are, you would hope that you're a bit older. So he was 52, which is a little bit young. And I was quite young at the time. I was 14. I didn't really know a lot about what him being diagnosed with Parkinson's meant. I have two brothers. One is 2 years older and one is 3 years younger. So especially for my younger brother, he was really young. And I think for all of us, when you're that young and you're kind of sat down and told that your parents has Parkinson's disease, I had heard the word, I didn't really know what it meant. And I kind of remember us all just being like, is daddy gonna die? And you know, my parents were like, no. And so we said, okay. And we kind of went about our lives, right? And I think it's just been a very slow learning process for all of us, even for my dad, as we have learned to live as a family, with this disease being a really huge part of our lives. And so when I kind of came of age, actually, I need to give credit where credit is due. My older brother, Timmy, actually found the YPs first. He joined first. And then in the last couple of years, I have followed in his footsteps and have joined as well. So that's kind of how I got involved.
So most people, I guess, have a pretty public image of what Parkinson's looks like from Michael J. Fox. Does it always manifest in that same fashion? Is it a slow degeneration? Is it a thing that has any chance of being reversed at this time?
Yeah, those are really good questions. So this, I mean, why don't I start with even kind of for someone that doesn't know, giving a little definition of what
Yeah, so yeah, like
Parkinson's is.
I don't know a lot about Parkinson's. I know that it's a neurological thing. Yeah, why don't you tell me so I don't
Yeah.
say something
No,
stupid.
we're all learning together, including me. So Parkinson's is technically a movement disorder. And so Parkinson's shows up when your brain cells that are responsible for your dopamine production start to die or stop working. Now, dopamine is, as many of us know, is a neurotransmitter, that is responsible for your movement, as well as your feelings of motivation and reward or pleasure. So, I think these days we're actually hearing the word dopamine a lot, but it's usually in reference to the motivation and reward aspect of it, right? Because you often hear people say, like,
Yeah,
oh,
I
I'm
had
messing
no
up my
idea that it was also movement
movement
as
related.
I do my hand like that, but that is
Yeah, no, 100%. I think we hear people say, oh, I'm messing up my dopamine from scrolling on TikTok for too long, or Instagram, or oh, I need to dopamine detox. Like, I need to get off the reels. But it actually also is responsible for your movement. So what happens when your brain cells that produce dopamine are dying, your motor functions start to break down, which is why kind of the poster child symptom, or really the three poster children symptoms for Parkinson's, are the tremor, stiffness, and slowness in movement, right? That being said, there are tons of symptoms related to Parkinson's that are not movement related. There are digestive systems and symptoms and mental health symptoms, of course. But to kind of go back to your earlier question, while all of that is true, they say if you've met one person with Parkinson's, you've met one person with Parkinson's. Parkinson's does not show up the same in every person that is diagnosed with the disease. It actually can look quite different. It can progress quite different. The timelines can look quite different. Your level of ability can look quite different. Your response to treatment can look quite different. What works for you might not work for someone else. So it really is kind of this individual disease that, of course, has some similarities throughout all. And that is what makes it so interesting and also quite difficult, right, to study and find research and medications for.
Right. So it's wildly different from MS or some other types of neurological issues, because it's not autoimmune, right? This is something totally different.
Yeah, it's not autoimmune. It's a movement disorder. You'll also hear it labeled as a neurodegeneration disorder, right? But you know, of course, there are always similarities between Parkinson's and many other diseases, like, you know, Alzheimer's being the other one that they're kind of grouped together a lot. Parkinson's is actually the second fastest growing neurological disease, right behind Alzheimer's. Okay. I think we hear a lot more about Alzheimer's, but unfortunately, right, Parkinson's is on the rise. And so we're hearing a lot more about it, which, you know, of course, in one way, we don't want that there to be. But at the same time, the more cases that are popping up with it, the more research we can do and the more cases we have to study and the more we can understand it. And hopefully the sooner we'll find a cure.
So you helped to raise money for Parkinson's research.
Yes.
And things of that nature. Who are you working with on the research side?
So the foundation, the Michael J. Fox Foundation itself, does a ridiculous amount of research for Parkinson's disease. I think
that they're on its own.
Yeah. So with their doctors and, you know, in coordination with, you know, some of the biggest medical professionals in the world, they're studying Parkinson's, and the foundation itself is really funding a mass majority of that research. Since it was founded in 2000, it has funded over $2 billion in research.
Wow.
Which is pretty freaking phenomenal. And counting, of course, and counting.
How much money you've personally raised?
Say that again.
Do you know how much money you have personally raised with your org?
My group. So my group has raised a little bit over 1.2 million.
That's fantastic. That's so cool.
Yes. Which puts
that's
us.
Quite an accomplishment.
Yes. It puts us in the top 10 highest grossing fundraiser groups for all of Team Fox in the country. So we're very proud of what we've been able to do since we started quite a few years ago. And we're going to keep going.
That's so cool. That's so cool. How old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
You're 26. I mean, you have done more than certainly I was doing when I was your age. I'm not ancient. I'm 39, but just the drive and the passion and the conviction that you have for this work is truly incredible. And I commend you for it. And I'm sure other people around you see it. It's wildly cool, at least to me.
Thank you, Josh. That's going to make me, it's really touching me, and that's making me tear up a lot. I honestly, though, I'm surrounded by so many people that have that same level of drive. And I think, you know, I talked about this actually the other day with the vice president at the foundation. We were on a call and I said, you know, I think that the power of grief when someone you love is suffering and there's nothing that you can do about it, finding something that you can do about it, that you can actively show up and participate in, is the biggest motivator in the world.
God, yeah. Ava Carly Baker says that you're amazing. I don't know
who that is, Ava Carly Baker.
Yeah, grief is quite the motivator. It's a thing that is wildly specific too. It is a fuel that can seem never ending at times, and also can also, I'm assuming, can feel potentially horribly crippling at times too, and maybe kind of lonely. But did anything that you were working towards or anything in your past kind of prepare you to step into this type of role? I mean, other than just being a highly motivated person, is there anything that you were looking into, you know, in your youth that kind of prepared you for this, or like any personal experiences?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I'm getting shy saying this, right? But yes, I have kind of been that kid that, you know, was the leader of every group and the loudest in the room since I was very young, and was always in student government and ran my high school and started new programs when I was 14 for recycling and took over my junior, you know, all kinds of things. I always was the one like leading the event and doing all those kinds of things. And that's definitely in my DNA. And I think that there were a lot of learning lessons right through my younger years on what, you know, something I think a lot about a lot now in this position, but that I actually thought about a lot when I was 17 and I was in student government in high school. I used to always, when we had our meetings, I would always make everyone take the desks and move them in a circle, right? I couldn't do it for our full meetings for all four grades, but when it was just me and the seniors, I would move them in a circle, because I would always say, I don't want it to be me at the front of the room talking at you guys. We're a united team. And while, yes, I might get to make the final decision, everyone here is going to play a part in that decision. And the group isn't going to be able to function the same if anybody leaves. And so I think about that a lot in my leadership now, which of course is much more intense than being a high schooler in student government, but just the realities of the fact of how important every single piece and person in the puzzle is. And I would not be able to, you know, do what I do without my co-chair, Sophia, who's amazing, or our entire board, who works tirelessly at what they do. Our board is made up of multiple people, 12 people that oversee several different, they hold chairs, they hold positions, and they oversee certain aspects of what we do, right? From policy and advocacy, member support, member engagement, Foxy Gala, which we can talk about, events, communications. And so I think a big part of like learning how to be a good leader is knowing that you don't lead alone, and that you need a lot of people to run any ship.
That's great, because that is like the key to being a good quality leader, is that you appreciate and understand the full scope of your team. And it's a thing that is often lost, and it's why a lot of people and a lot of projects fail, because they don't appreciate their team. And the fact that you understand this now is such a huge deal. It's great.
Yeah, no, especially on my team too, right? Because we're talking about people who almost all of us, this isn't like an actual statistic, but I would back it. I would say maybe 97% of us in my group have a parent actively fighting the disease. A few have a parent that have passed away. And then for a few, it's a family member or loved one that's not a parent. But, you know, I think that with that being a factor, and then being a factor that we are all volunteers who, you know, have lives and jobs and other massive commitments in our life, but then on top of it are committing a massive amount of time to this, you have to kind of really know and respect each person and their story and what's bringing them here and what they need. And it's definitely a dance and a learning process, but it's one that I'm so humbled to be doing.
That's awesome. Are you, and I'm not trying to like be like meh or like anything, but are you interfacing with any local politicians or like any political organizations that maybe are sympathetic to this type of thing or fundraising or trying to pull in any public funds for it or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a really good question. Right. And so I know I mentioned two of our chairs on our board are our policy and advocacy chairs. Right.
Right.
I know we at first, like when talking about a nonprofit and charity to raise a disease, politics might not be the first thing that comes to mind. But it is a real part of this. And I know, and even in bringing up this now, right, I would be so remiss to not acknowledge the fact that, you know, we are in probably one of the largest political weeks of many of our lives, right? Things are very heated. They're very divided. Josh, you spoke so beautifully about it at the beginning of this call. And I similarly am sending love to everyone, no matter how you're feeling this week. And I just, you know, I think that this Parkinson's, among many other diseases, is actually an area where I think so many of us can come together, no matter what side of the aisle we're on. And I don't mean to say that like so cliche-ly, but it is.
Yeah, it's how it has to happen.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's the truth, because disease does not discriminate, unfortunately. And I think that, you know, when it comes to Parkinson's, yes, we do need governmental support and we do need our politicians to, you know, be taking action on this. And they have actually quite recently, which is a really beautiful thing. Oh, good. That's great. Up until very recently, the Michael J. Fox Foundation had actually surpassed the amount of money that was being put in. They had surpassed the U.S. government in the amount of money that was being poured into Parkinson's research. And that is true. However, this past 4th of July, the national bill to end Parkinson's was signed into law by President Biden. It is a bill that was heavily being backed by the Michael J. Fox Foundation. And it's a bill that, you know, there was bipartisan agreement on, which is so, so important. And so what that means is that now the government will be held accountable to putting efforts towards finding a cure for Parkinson's, both on the funding and research side of it. I think we're all still anxiously waiting to see what it's going to look like in action and in real life. But it's exciting, and we need to give a lot of credit where credit is due, which is to the policy and advocacy people and the people on the ground, both at the foundation. Huge shout out to Michael Sazonoff and Michael Disler, who are my policy and advocacy members, who, you know, I was speaking to Michael Sazonoff earlier today. He's the greatest guy in the world. I mean, calls his reps day in and day out, emails, phone calls, to the
point. That's what you have to do.
That's what you have to do.
Bother the shit out of them, because that's the only way.
Yeah, yeah. And he's so dedicated. And if anyone's watching, you know, wants to get more involved in that, there's a whole policy advocacy section on the Michael J. Fox Foundation website. That's really important. Other really small things that you can do too, just to quickly mention, and I'm sorry that I'm going on like a long tangent about this.
I love it. You should tangent your
off. But, you know, I understand that, you know, setting up a meeting with your government official is maybe not something that everyone's going to do. I certainly encourage you to, but, you know, if that's not for you, there are really small but powerful things that you can do. So, for example, there is no known cause for Parkinson's at all. However, Paraquat is a herbicide that has been shown to increase your chance of Parkinson's by 500%. It has already been banned in over 70 countries, but surprise, surprise, it is very much still legal here in the United States of America. And so
that's called
Paraquat.
Paraquat.
Paraquat, yes.
Okay.
It is an herbicide. It is still legal here. And so the foundation is working, and my policy advocacy team is also working to try to get that banned. And so you can so easily go on the Michael J. Fox Foundation website, click a link, and sign the petition. It'll probably take you under 30 seconds, but that is a small action that is really powerful and important. And kind of
what's it used on our food?
It's an herbicide. So, you know, I'm not really the right person to go into all the details on paraquat. My policy advocacy team would probably be much better.
Sure. I've never heard of this thing before, and now I'm like, what the fuck is this thing?
But it's used in a lot of farming practices and things of that nature. I don't know if it is particularly used on like crops that are harvested for grocery, but at times there has kind of been some research done on higher levels of Parkinson's in farmers and exposure to these things.
Told me that it's a weed killer. So,
okay. Yeah. There you go.
Thank you, chat. Which actually makes sense. That would be used a lot.
Yes.
And all over the place. So,
Yeah.
Well, so, okay.
Yeah. So sign the ban against paraquat. We would greatly appreciate it.
I have put the links to the Michael J. Fox Foundation in the YouTube stream and the Facebook stream. Please go there and sign this petition. Thank you. Well, interesting. That's really cool. But I also like what you said. I'm looking down because I'm pouring water into my mug. I'm not ignoring you.
No, I'm going to take a sip of water.
I think it's so interesting and very cool what you said, and so relevant to everything, just how easy it is to actually set up a meeting or speak to your local government representative. They literally make it easy. You can just put their name into the internet and all of their information will pop up. You can email them, you can fax them, you can call them, you can show up to their office and make an appointment and literally just talk to them about whatever in the shit you need to talk to them about. And they are legally obligated to listen to you because they're your elected official. You can bring a whole group of people. You can get a whole group of people together and talk about whatever you want to talk about. So you can do it about Parkinson's, you can do it about rights, you can do it about your local water, you can do it about anything that you need to do it for, and that goes all the way up every representative.
Yeah.
So do it. It's really easy. Yep.
100%.
Back to Parkinson's. So let's talk about the Foxy Gala, shall we? Right, that's what that's called.
Yes, the Foxy Gala. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm very excited. So the Foxy Gala is kind of what put the Team Fox YPs on the map, put my group on the map. It was founded long before I came into the picture. But I wish I knew what year we're going on now, but I think we've got to be hitting close to 10. And so it is a black tie gala held in New York City in the end of spring every year, end of April. I unfortunately am not at the liberty to release any of this year's details yet. It's a black tie gala. It's not a sit down dinner. It's more of a cocktail style party. We have added the most incredible raffle and silent auction table that you will ever see in your life. We do silent auction for trips. We've had trips to Costa Rica, trips to other islands. I don't know why they're escaping me. We had an African safari one year. Guitars signed by like incredible musicians and Prada bags and thing, all kinds of things. It's an open bar and there's tons of amazing food, like past appetizers and desserts that are all donated from local New York City restaurants. And it's like a amazing giant 4-hour dance party and fundraiser. We give a quick little speeches, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll have the best night of your life. I always say it's the most fun night of the year.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. I'm really looking forward to it. And my absolute favorite part of the Foxy Gala is planning my outfit every year. I will say, I will be honest. I take that very, very seriously. We have a theme every year as well. So
I saw the pictures from last year. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks really cool.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing. And it, like I said, it's kind of what's put us on the map at the foundation. There is no other Team Fox group that puts on a black tie gala or an event to that scale. So besides Michael J. Fox himself's gala, we're kind of the only other gala, and it's a really amazing place. And it's also an amazing place to kind of meet other young people. I know we haven't really talked about this. I keep saying YP, young professional.
I was gonna ask you about that next. But
yeah, so okay, sorry, I'm jumping the gun.
Jump into that if you want. No, it's okay. We can flow. It's totally cool now. We can flow around. It's fine.
So yeah, we're technically a young professionals group, which means that majority of our members are in their 20s and 30s. That being said, we do not age discriminate, and we certainly do have some beloved members who are above that age range, who are incredible and dedicated and come to our meetings and our events, and we love them. And, you know, once we're all together, age is just a number. Going down, I do say you have to be 20, at least 21, just because a lot of our meetings do involve alcohol. We sometimes
miss meetings. You gotta have the drinks.
Yeah, so we do have alcohol. So a lot of times, just to kind of bring in a social aspect, I always kind of say the three pillars of our group are social support and fundraising, right? And we could talk about I could talk about support for a minute too, but those are kind of the three pillars. And so for this, the social aspect, there's often alcohol, but the gala or our other events, our other annual event is called the stand-up comedy show, and it's coming up really quick. I'm plugging it, but it's on November 18th, and we're really, really excited about that. So that's like another great place to just come and meet other young people living in your city.
Link that event. You can check that out too. Who's gonna be performing? Do you know who's gonna be there?
It's a so at the comedy show. So it's a surprise. Yeah. It's a lineup of six.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a surprise. It's a surprise for me too. The contract that we signed with the owner, he gets full control over the lineup, which is actually exciting. We trust him greatly. He's a really amazing guy. And we're having it at Sesh Comedy Club on the Lower East Side, which is
absolutely cool.
Yeah. A really beloved spot for a lot of people. It's our first time doing it there. And so we're really, really excited. And the awesome place about Sesh too, so many, you know, comedy sellers have drink minimums, which is understandable, but Sesh does not. And they're actually BYOB friendly, which is really cool. So it's the most amazing way to spend a Monday night, to get out of the house for a little bit, something to do on a weeknight, November 18th. Everyone should come. The tickets are only $25.
That is a great, that's a great night out for
$25.
I mean, in New York City, where you can't see a show for $25.
You can't breathe the air. You can't breathe the air for $25.
New York City air for $25. I mean, you can't even buy a hot dog anymore for less than $10 or however the hell much it costs now out of the cart.
Yeah. No. 100%.
Yeah.
So we're really excited. Our events team has been working hard to put this together. And a huge shout out to Caitlin for also all the work that she's done on this. One of our YPs is very much in the comedy world, so she does a lot of the background on this. And we're really excited. The comedy show is relatively new. This is our third annual show. So we're hoping for a great turnout. Yeah.
So this position, this very, you're basically you're the head of this org here.
Yeah.
But it is completely volunteer. Do you have a plan for yourself moving forward? Do you have anything that on the horizon that is interesting you? Anything like that?
So everyone in our group, right, is volunteer, and so we all live other lives, right? Like I said a few times, and this is a huge part of our lives for all of us, but we have people that have careers in Wall Street, to people that are physical therapists, to people that work. We have some YPs that work at the Michael J. Fox Foundation. all kinds of different healthcare, you know, everything, people, all different backgrounds. For me personally, I, you know, hope if you were to ask me my 5 or 10 year plan, and I'm someone that like has never been able to answer that question before. But sure. I think for me, I'm so passionate and so dedicated to this work. I'm somebody that kind of needs passion. I know that's a big debate, right? Like should how you spend your time and how you support yourself be just kind of a means to an end, or should it be passion driven? And there's a lot of different opinions on that out there. I'm a very passion driven person. And because of my father, who I love so much, I will never lose my passion for this work. So I hope to see the day that Parkinson's is eradicated. But until that day, I will be here, whether it be as the head of this group or just a part of this group. If I burn out at a certain point and need to step down, of course, my big dream is to just keep moving up. And, you know, there are even larger boards within the foundation. Of course, then there is the board that, you know, that all the big names are on, Ryan Reynolds and Michael J. Fox, and that board, I would love to sit there one day. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to have the largest possible impact on bringing this world closer to living without this disease. And so, yeah, that's a huge part of my personal goals. And then of course I have some other that I know you and I have chatted about offline of my dreams and aspirations in writing and television and all these things, but
yeah. Screenwriter, which is a cool thing. That's cool. Yeah. if it's not too much, I know it's live or whatever, but can you, First, if anyone has any questions or comments, please feel free to hurl them into the chats. I will feel them as they come in. And, you know, just don't ask anything weird and it'll be great. But can you talk a little bit about how Parkinson's has affected your family and the quality of life? And because people also don't really understand what that looks like, you know, people just are like, oh, they just shake now or whatever. Yeah. Right. Like, so,
yeah, that's like a really big question. And I think a hard topic for a lot of people, including me, but yes. I'm happy to dive into it.
I don't, you know, like if you answer this, however you
Don't worry. I'm all here for it. I believe in Brené Brown, who always says our vulnerability is our superpower, right? And I kind of live my life by that. I think when my father was first diagnosed, I kind of similarly kind of thought a bit like those ignorant people. Again, I was quite young, but I thought, okay, his hand's just going to shake. No big deal. Like that's not that bad. And I think that for a little while, that is kind of what it was just kind of a handshake. And then, you know, his progression over the last plus decade has looked like an intensification of symptoms. So yes, he still has his tremor and his hand does still shake. It does occasionally stop. I think that's like a slight misconception that it's like going 100% of the time. It does occasionally stop. But you know, he struggles with a lot of the large symptoms that are associated with Parkinson's disease, meaning stiffness, right? So he doesn't walk the same way that he does. It breaks down your facial muscles, so it's harder to show expression. The way that it is. Speech is a really huge thing with Parkinson's patients, and so
it's a motor function thing.
And your vocal cords, right? Everything in our body is really in one way or another kind of being prompted by muscles, and when your motor functions are breaking down, your muscles are breaking down. So speech is something that, you know, is difficult for a lot of Parkinson's patients, including my dad. And you know, recently, actually, you know, even over the summer, I got kind of a new symptom that kind of entered the chat, is a severe drop in blood pressure. So my dad is a large man. I know you've met him, Josh, but he is 6'2" and 200 pounds. His blood pressure would drop to like 60 over 40, which when your blood pressure is dropping that low, you're going into like a, he would kind of go into a state of like almost unconsciousness at first, where like he's non-responsive, and then completely collapse. And luckily there are blood pressure medications specified for Parkinson's patients. We recently got on one of those. We did have to adjust the dose a few times, but it has really helped with the collapsing because your drop in blood pressure is not what's threatening to your life. It is collapsing and hitting your head, of course, that is going to threaten your life. So, you know, that was a really new symptom. He has a pinched nerve in his neck and shoulder that just gives him earth shattering pain all day, every day. Most Parkinson's patients don't sleep very well. That's certainly true for my father. Like night terrors is a huge symptom. And my dad actually had night terrors long before he was diagnosed. Really interesting fact that you'll find interesting, and I'm not a doctor, so please no one quote me on this, but there are a lot of studies that certain people who have appendicitis, but a specific kind of appendicitis where your appendix explodes and then kind of forms a shell around it, so you don't always know that it's exploded, years prior will develop Parkinson's later in life. And so that happened to my dad. I think when he was about 40, his appendix exploded. He walked around with an exploded appendix for 3 days without knowing, because it had formed a shell around itself. And then but he kind of had some pain and he didn't know what's going on. But, you know, appendicitis can be deadly because it leaks kind of poison into your body. So, but the shell was kind of preventing that from happening. So, you know, symptoms like that, digestion are huge issues for Parkinson's patients as well. But the thing I will say about my dad, and I'll say this in trying not to get too emotional, you have never met a man that complains less in your entire life. He will always tell you that he is okay. He will always do what the family wants to do, even if it's going to be physically uncomfortable for him. We have dragged him all over on family vacations and out to dinners and parties. You know, if you know my dad, you know he's not always the most social guy. He doesn't always love to go out on the town, but he will do it no matter what. He doesn't ever complain. He doesn't ever get discouraged. He always finds hope. He is stubborn, but he's trying new things. We're puzzling recently, which is a new addition, and I would recommend to, first of all, to anyone, but to anyone with Parkinson's, I think it's brought a lot of joy to our house and a lot of mental stimulation.
Like doing actual puzzles?
Like actual 1,000-piece puzzles. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's mental stimulation. It gets you off the phone. It gets you off the TV, you know?
Gotta get off the phone. It's bad. It's bad for your brain.
Yeah, so bad for your brain. So, yeah, he perseveres and he fights, and he's been fighting every day for 15 years, and he's still, you know, the rock of our family. And honestly, I don't think I would be able to get out of the house in the morning without him. Even setting all this up in here tonight, he had to help me with aggressively, because I was like, I don't have the right lighting and I need outlets and I need an extension cord because I need to sit in a certain spot that the Wi-Fi can reach. He does everything, and I'm so grateful that he is able to continue to live at the functionality that he is at. You know, of course, does our lives and his life look different than it did a decade and a half ago? Yes, of course. He carries around so much more pain. I cannot even stomach or comprehend the amount of pain that he is in every day. But he carries that mountain on his back every single day for our family. And we stay hopeful and we stay involved and we stay open-minded and we try new things and we move forward. And I thank God and the world and the universe every single day that I have him here with me.
Well, I wouldn't want nothing more than that to happen for you and for him and for your entire family. The work that you're doing is certainly important and honors him in a way that will last after everyone is gone and new people pick up the torch. What'd you say? The Parkinson's Foundation would be so lucky to have her working for them. I agree. I think she should work for them full time in a paid position. That's my pitch. So I know there's no cure, but is there anything that can slow down or freeze the effects at this point?
Nothing. No, so there are some medications. They do not slow the progression of the disease, nor do they stop it. But they can de-intensify your symptoms. And so that you know, can kind of improve your quality of life a little bit, right? And that's, you know, that's all we can ask for. It's a really exciting time in Parkinson's. I am not a doctor, nor am I a researcher, but I have been fortunate enough to be in some really incredible rooms with some of the top doctors and top researchers. And what I hear from everyone is that, like, this is the most exciting time in Parkinson's that there has ever been, like, even way more exciting than 5-10 years ago. We're on the verge of a lot of breakthroughs. There are, you know, there's a lot of really exciting things that are coming out. They found a biomarker last year, which will hopefully lead, you know, to a lot of amazing new treatment options. And so, you know, the point in saying all of that is that the work that we do doesn't go in vain, and it's not for nothing. Like, we can actively, you know, we spoke about this at the gala last year too, right? Because the biomarker had kind of just been discovered not that long before it. And, you know, we kind of, the co-chairs at the time, not myself, kind of gave a speech, and we're kind of saying, you know, everyone that shows up here tonight, right, that gives their time and their money and their energy to this, it is actively paying off in real time. And we are all seeing and living the results, right, which is a really beautiful thing. And I know we haven't kind of had that big breakthrough that we're waiting for, or the medication that is going to stop the progression or slow, but, you know, there's a lot of movement and a lot of people that are really dedicated to this. And so we just kind of keep hoping, and we keep moving forward, and we get amazing new breakthroughs every day. And I participate in what's called, like, PPMI studies, which anyone can sign up for on the Michael J. Fox Foundation website, whether you have a relative with Parkinson's or not. And it's kind of like I don't even know if it's every month. It might be a little less frequently than that. They send you a little questionnaire. It takes, like, a few minutes to fill out, to kind of track your symptoms with certain things, digestive, mental health, whatever. And they use all of that, right, in their research. So there's so much that they're doing, like, on so many different levels, that we're all very, very hopeful.
That's fantastic. Where can people find you online? On social media?
Yeah, people can follow us on our Instagram, which is TeamFoxNYCYP. We're very active on Instagram. You can slide into our DMs at any time for any questions or concerns. Slide right in. I do. We have a comms team, but I am very hands-on, and I like to monitor our Instagram as well. So I'm in there at times in the DMs. You can also shoot us an email at any time, which is nyc@teamfoxyp.com. And our member engagement team is actively checking those emails, again, as am I. And yeah, we're pretty accessible. And you also can check out all of the amazing work that the Michael J. Fox Foundation is doing on their website, MichaelJFox.org. Yep, sorry. And you can read about all of the amazing work that you know, all the research that's happening, everything that's going on. And before we end too, I just want to quickly say, because I didn't mention it earlier on, but
we don't have to end yet. I was just
one other thought that came to my mind too that's really important is support groups, right? Fundraising is really important. Social fun, comedy club stuff is really important, but also support groups are really important, and finding safe spaces to speak about what you're going through, what your loved one's going through, to ask questions, advice. How did your parent respond to this treatment? Or what do you think of this doctor? So we, the YPs, do have a support group. Our chairs Stephanie and Anish on our board run our support group, and they do an incredibly amazing job at it. They meet once a month, and they alter virtually and then in person. And virtually, we actually have members not just from NYC. We have people from all over the country that kind of chime in, which is really exciting.
And free?
Yep, they're totally free, totally open, totally safe space. And, you know, the foundation themselves, and there's something called the Parkinson's Buddy Network, which you can find on the Michael J. Fox org, has other support groups. And those ones are very specifically tailored at times to like spouse of someone with Parkinson's or child of someone with Parkinson's, things of that nature. So just want to make sure that, you know, I mentioned that those are resources and really important.
I'm happy that you did. That's really important. And a huge part of outreach of all kinds. I mean, just keeping people in together and speaking to each other and working through things and having their own community is very important. So it's amazing that you offer that. It's really great.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful too. And I need to kind of give a shout out too, to, you know, I stepped in to be our co-chair this year, one of our co-chairs this year, but you know, there's a lot of amazing people that have come before me that have built this group into being what it is. And I'm so grateful for them. And I'm so, so happy to have the opportunity to take this group even further now. And you know, I'm all about silver linings, right? And so when something really difficult happens that you can't control, like a loved one being diagnosed with disease, I cannot think of a greater silver lining than getting to find an amazing community in my city filled with people that are going through the same thing that I am, where we are not only supporting each other and I'm not only making new friends and people that will be in my life forever, but where we are actively fighting for a better tomorrow. I think that is like what makes the world go round. And, you know, sometimes when I find myself, you know, struggling with the reality of this disease, I just thank God for the reality of this organization and the role that I get to play in it.
So well said and incredible. I think that what you are doing, what your whole organization is doing, is just fantastic. And I'm so, so happy that you agreed to come speak to me tonight.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I learned so much that I've never known before. And I feel like anyone that has watched has learned more than they did before and are going to leave better people because of it. So I really appreciate this. This was amazing.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. I appreciate any opportunity to talk about my group. And also, I'm just so honored to get to take part in one of the amazing things that you're doing in your career and all of the like exciting stuff that you have going on. And, you know, I'm such a fan. So I'm so grateful.
Well, thank you, Natalie. All right. I'm going to say goodbye to you now. This has been an amazing time. All of the links for all of the Team Fox is everywhere that you were watching this. I will post them on Instagram. They're all already on YouTube and they're already on Facebook. Natalie, thank you so much. And I will speak to you soon. Okay.
Thank you. Bye guys.
Bye. All right. Hey everybody. Thank you so much for coming to this week's edition of the Live Stream Live. I hope you enjoyed learning about Parkinson's and the Michael J. Fox Foundation and what Team Fox does. And I hope you took away little bits that you can do in other parts of your life as well, with organizing and speaking to politicians and forming communities and things of that nature. Moving forward in all aspects of life, especially with what is happening now. I just want to echo what I said in the beginning of the stream. I love you. I am here for you. It's a hard time for many and also a happy time for other people. But anyone in a marginalized group or anyone who is in pain, I'm right there with you. And I feel for you with my whole heart, because I'm there too. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you're watching this on Facebook, please follow me. If you are interested in seeing more of my work, I offer a subscription on my Instagram where you can subscribe to me for less than a cup of coffee a month, and you'll get access to TV shows and movies and films and clips and live stream replays that are not this, all for the cost of one latte a month. I have merch coming, more merch, that's links everywhere too. The new piece of art that I just showed you, this one is about to become a bunch of merch too. I really appreciate you being here. We have a cool guest for next week. Until next time, thank you for tuning in to the live stream live, and I hope you have a beautiful rest of your night. Goodbye.